and we're here to take your calls about what you want at 855-453. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we share with you. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Allie.
Allie, you're a millennial. What's that?
A millennial is, if you look this up, then it's not really super clear.
Generation Y.
But the story that I was going to read about millennials says that it's ages 18 to 31.
Like whoever is that age as we
right
speak.
Now, yeah,
right now in August of 2013.
And I don't know if you saw this, but the New York Times. Like, the first time I heard anyone say something about millennials was when, not New York Times, I'm sorry, Time Magazine did this, like, on the cover, they had, like, a picture of a girl on her cell phone. It was, like, the me generation, why millennials are conceited, or something like that. And yeah, that just offended me, because I'm millennial.
The whole idea of generations, I think, is somewhat offensive, because it's just somebody picked an arbitrary age range and decided to, let's talk about everybody within this age range as though they're all the same or share similar characteristics.
If you're 18 right now, then you might relate to people who are, you know, ages 15 to, you know, and into the millennials, but you don't necessarily relate to the 31-year-olds, you know what I mean?
That are in the same so-called generation,
yeah.
You mean? So I'm looking at the Wikipedia article here, and it says, according to the story here, they're saying it's from the early 1980s to the 2000s. In Australia, there's a debate over millennial birth dates. It's generally accepted, however, that the first millennials were born in 1983. Australian Bureau of Statistics claims that that range runs from 1983 to the year 2000.
So that, like, that's like for every human within that age range, not just
correct.
Like it, so someone in Europe would be considered part of the millennials, correct?
As I understand it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so this story is from CNBC.com. More than a third of American millennials are living at home with their parents, according to a Pew Research Center study released Thursday. When the recession began in 2007, 32%, or 18.5 million of millennials, defined as 18 to 31-year-olds, had not left the nest. Today, it is 36%, or 21.6 million. According to Pew's analysis of Census Bureau data, the number of millennials still living at home is the highest percentage in four decades. A driving factor is declining employment. Last year, just 63% of young adults in that age group had a job, down from 70% in 2007. Quote, you're much less likely to be living with your mom and or dad if you have a job, and job holding still hasn't picked up, said Richard Fry, a senior research associate with the Pew Research Center.
I don't know. Everybody that wants a job that really looks for one seems like they get one.
Well,
I mean, we live in New Hampshire, and the unemployment rate is lower here than a lot of places, but I feel like there are a lot of people that complain about not being able to get a job who really aren't putting the effort in that may be necessary.
I agree that those people do exist. However, what I attribute this to is basically, you know how, like recently we had a minimum wage hike, and the minimum wage is just a price floor on labor.
Mm-hmm.
And just consider this, because I think a lot of people are saying, well, the minimum wage is meant to protect people like young people who have
so
a job.
Claim.
And yeah, so that they can make a living wage or what, you know, make what they deserve. But think of it, because I know that everyone likes to hate on employers. No one, you know, everyone has like a little bit of resentment for their boss. They don't value them as much as they should. And I understand those feelings. But like, okay, so imagine you're at the grocery store and you're going to buy peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try to get the best peanut butter for the lowest price.
Sure.
Right? So then say, so you're always factoring price into you know, what quality of peanut butter you can afford.
Most people, unless they've got a bunch of money.
Right. So, like, you may prefer to have the organic, fancy peanut butter, but it's too expensive. If they put a price floor on peanut butter, making the inexpensive, like, the peanut butter you'd normally buy, if they say, no, you've got to, we're going to put a price floor on this, peanut butter has to be, can't be any less than $3 for a jar, then you're more likely to pick the higher end peanut butter, you know, screw the cheap peanut butter, because if you're already forced to pay this amount, then you might as well go for the higher product.
So what you're saying there, you're trying to connect that example to jobs. Where,
I think everyone can relate to that.
Where someone who maybe older and has more skills, you can hire for the same price as some noob teenager that you'd have to pay the same amount for. Why would you want to do that?
Right. If an employer has a job opening, then if I go in and apply and I don't have a degree or, you know, I have experience or whatever, but they have to pay me $7.25 or whatever the federal minimum wage is, which is $7.25 right now, then if there's someone else who has a degree who's willing to work for that amount, then they're going to go.
You're going to hire the guy with the degree.
What's the guy with the degree? So, like, the minimum wage, basically everyone who doesn't have experience or skills, and those people are the ones that get cut out of a job.
True.
So it makes sense that when you have, like, not just the recession and everything, that also makes getting a job harder. And I think the government's a big part of the recession and probably responsible. I think that, like, that with, like, a growing hiking minimum wage makes it even harder for people to find jobs. And it makes sense that those people would be having to stay at home with their parents. This is like a growing trend, it seems, with people having to stay with their families, when for me, being an adult was like, being independent was very important to me.
Yeah.
And it's not like I had a terrible life at home or anything.
You,
like,
seem to really get along with your mom. I met her at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Really,
me and
cool
my
lady.
Mom are very close, and I wish I could go see her now, but I just so much appreciate my independence that it's very important for me, and I think it's not.
Well, you must have been raised that way, right? Like, did she teach you when you were growing up to be an independent young lady? Or is that something that you sought for on your own? Was she really overprotective?
I would say intellectually, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I was encouraged to think, have my own thoughts and differing opinions. That was okay. But she did, like, take care of me in ways like other parents might have, like, made their kids do their own laundry and things like that. Mm-hmm. I was sort of, like, coddled in a way.
My laundry was done for me, but I did have some things around the house that I did.
But I wanted a job so that I could have extra money. It was just simply that I liked the independence. I liked the idea of having a job and being able to save money just because I wanted things.
All right, so I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. I mean, first of all, I just want to make it clear, I'm on your side. I wanted to get out of the house as a young person, too, and go out on my own and be out from under my parents' roof and thumb and all that.
Sure.
Not that they were particularly oppressive. I would say they were good parents. But I still wanted that. I still wanted that for myself. But ultimately, is it really that different to, you know, let's say, room with your parents versus rooming with total strangers or a friend? Because a lot of people, when they get out of their parents' home, will go into get together with a friend and go out, get a place together to split the cost, because it's a lot of money to live on your own, especially in a difficult economy. I know it has been pointed out, I think, by Mark on this show, that in other cultures, like over in Europe, people are more likely to stay at home with their parents for a longer period of time.
Well,
in fact,
I think
whole families might even live together in some cultures.
I think a lot of I think the difference between, like, living with your parents and living with, like, a stranger, like a roommate, would be, like, say you go out and you pick up someone at the bar and you want to have sex with them when you get home. You can't really do that at your parents. I mean, you can.
Why not? I mean, what if that's part of the agreement?
Oh.
Is it just weird? Is
I think
it too
that's
weird?
If I was a girl and a guy took me home, for one thing, we're going to your parents' house.
Yeah, okay.
To your parents are home. Like, no.
But isn't that cultural? But isn't that a cultural thing?
That's more of like an Oedipus complex thing. Like, sucked your mom's
boobs.
Oedipus
had sex with his mom, right?
Well, the Oedipus complex
was attracted to his mom? What was it? What was Oedipus? Did he actually have sex with her, or was he attracted to her?
I think Oedipus accidentally had sex with his mom. He didn't realize it was his mom.
I see.
I might be confusing.
We'll look that up.
That.
We'll find that out here in a moment. Let's continue, though. Are you in this group of people? Are you still living with your parents as an adult? And how old are you, and why? I mean, you know, obviously there's this negative connotation that it has, but should it have that? And does it only have that because of a cultural thing? Like, in other places around the world, this is a totally normal thing. It's a way for people to save money, and it's totally valid. What's the case? It's Free Talk Live.
Business owners, listen up.
Give me an L.
Give me another L.
Give me a Z.
What's that spell?
Incorporation, protection, success. Incorporate your business.
LLC. If you're about to start a business, these three little letters can make the difference between making a fortune and losing everything. Because if you're not incorporated and someone sues your business, you can lose it all. Your home, your car, even your life savings. That's why LLC.com is now giving away a free incorporation guide to all business owners. With LLC.com, you can incorporate in just 10 minutes. Protect your home, protect your car, protect your life savings. Call 1-800-940-9829 for your free 10-minute incorporation guide from LLC.com. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy.
Incorporation, protection, success. Incorporate your business.
Call now for your free guide. 1-800-940-9829. That's 1-800-940-9829.
There is a false sense of security that the greatest economic crash since the Great Depression is over. But unemployment is still at a 20-year high, and until Americans are working again, the economy has not recovered. What is the smartest investment you can make? It's food. Having a supply of eFoods Direct 25-year shelf life food is your best investment for the troubled times today and the future. For 32 years, the folks at eFoods Direct have helped thousands take the trouble out of troubled times. So to celebrate our 32-year anniversary, get the best insurance possible with a special one-time offer. A two-month food supply for only $320 and free shipping. That's 352 servings of our newest and most popular award-winning recipes at less than a dollar per serving. The 25-year shelf life allows you to lock your food cost against inflation. Call 800-409-5633 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex. The two-month supply is only available for a limited time. Call 800-409-5633 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Join us in Joshua Tree, California, August 9th through 11th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference. A weekend of in-depth exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. The conference will feature films, panels, lectures, workshops, and fieldwork with leading experts including Stephen Greer, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Graham Hancock, Jim Mars, Michael Tellinger, Laura Eisenhower, Jason Martel, David Wilcock, Doc Wallace, David Zareda, and many, many more of the biggest names in ufology. The conference will coincide with the Perseid Meteor Shower, and the Joshua Tree Retreat Center offers the perfect place for sightings through the clear desert sky. Enter to win a free ticket at contactinthedesert.com. We look forward to seeing you in Joshua Tree in August for a serious look at mounting evidence that we are not alone. For more information, go to contactinthedesert.com or call 760-365-8371.
Raising your own chickens for food is great, but how will you get them ready for the dinner table? Do it the fast and easy way with a power plucker from powerplucker.com. The power plucker is a simple attachment that works with a power drill and removes feathers in a flash. Whether you're a homesteader or a bird hunter, you'll save time and money, and we guarantee you'll love it. Order right now at powerplucker.com and receive free shipping. Powerplucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
When you need it the most, will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit priproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live, take control, toll-free here at 855-453. That would be the SACL CAI toll-free line. We're talking about people staying home with the folks into adulthood. Apparently, it's something that is more popular than ever now with the generation known as the millennials. Of course, I take offense to the idea that people are grouped in and talked about as though they're, you know, this mass called a generation. And I guess the purpose is to look at how people behave in certain age ranges, and I suppose there's some validity to that. But I always, it kind of just makes me uncomfortable. Anyway, we're talking about the millennials staying home with parents. But didn't Gen Xers, you know, weren't they notorious for staying home with their parents too at some point? Is the article?
It probably wasn't as much though.
You're saying this is the most ever. This is.
It said the highest in 40 years.
Okay. All right, so they're doing it more than the generation before them. But I remember hearing about that. I remember when I was growing up, and I'm part of Generation X. I'm on the younger end of it. But I remember hearing about Gen X. You know, that like in the late 1990s, Gen Xers were known for being, at home with the parents, and they're losers, and they're all so alternative, and it's just so. None of it makes any sense because, you know, each person is an individual and they should be looked at that way. But what they're saying is that over time, more people have gone in this direction, staying home with their parents. Does that mean it's something about millennials or is it just a trend?
I think it's about the economy.
Well, right. Tell me more about that.
Well, I think that because it's harder to find jobs, I agree with the, they say it's a factor, but I think it's like a really big factor that you can't find a job and that, you know, that's sort of like if a friend told me I have to move back in with mom and dad, I would assume it has to do with money issues. Most people don't choose mm-hmm. to go back to live with their parents just because they miss mommy.
Right. And in some cases, the parents may be renting that room. You know, it may not be a freebie. Right. So all the people that are living with their parents, that doesn't factor in the question of, well, how many of them are actually just renting a room from their parents? How many of them have some sort of an agreement with their parents? Like, I'm not here as your son or daughter so much as I am a renter who you happen to, you know, have a bloodline to. So what are the different arrangements that each of these individuals have? I'm sure there's quite a variety of them. The way the statistic makes it sound, though, is like, oh, these kids are just leeching off their parents. And I don't know if that's necessarily fair or true.
I don't think so either, but I do kind of feel sorry for parents who are thinking, when they're 18, we're free. You know, a lot of parents, they'll have kids, and then it almost seems like they're pulling for when they're 18 so they can kick them out of the house. And I think the parents want independence from their kids, too.
God, yeah, who wouldn't want that ball and chain tethered around them for 18 years?
Right.
I'm sorry, that's my perspective. I don't like the idea of having kids, so that's how I see them. I understand most parents, they love their kids, and they're like the miracle that happened to them, and they love having them. But I guess you could get tired of that. I mean, what is a miracle at age 1 to 3 or whatever may not feel so miraculous at age 15.
Well, lots of parents put off their life, their dreams and all that, so they can have kids, and then I guess a lot of them, but I think a lot of them plan to pick it back up when the kids leave or travel or whatever it is, you know, live their life. And I think that will kick in for a lot of parents when the kids go off to college and they sort of realize, like, whatever it is I haven't accomplished in life, this is my opportunity now.
Yeah.
And so if the kid moves back in, you know, because you would rather, I think a lot of parents would rather offer a haven for their kids than to, because they care about them, to see them, than see them on the street or
of course.
Doing whatever it is that the kid has to do. Maybe they would have to, like, sell drugs or something to get by, and they don't want to see their kid go to jail.
I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with this. I mean, I think that it's a cultural thing in America.
But you would see that it might be undesirable for a lot of people, and so in that sense, it is bad.
For that person, yeah. I mean, if it's your goal to get out from under your parents' wings, then you should seek that goal. Not everyone shares the same goal. That's one of the things I wanted to do as a young person, but not everybody has that same independent streak. And
you don't think that, like, most people would rather not live with their parents? Like, you know anyone who's like, I live with my parents, I could go get a job. I make plenty of money, I have a job, but I just like to live with them.
Do I know that person? No, but
I don't know anyone like that.
They exist. I mean, those people must exist.
Well, sure.
I've known people who have gone to live with their parents for periods of time, and they are usually financially based. But, you know, and then at some point you can get to a point where a child is taking care of a parent. So there's certainly arrangements like that where a parent has become elderly, and rather than putting them into a nursing home or something like that, the child may decide to, or child at that time, an adult, the child of the parent may come back into the home, move back into the parent's home for the purpose of being a caretaker. So that happens too. Sure. It happens all over. It's a cultural thing, and it's just something that we have here in America, and I don't know how common or uncommon it is around the globe. I've been led to believe that it is not as common as, you know, one might expect. It seems second nature, but maybe that's not the case for everyone.
I feel like I'm going to go on a limb and say most people value independence enough that if they had the option to move out, then they would. If they were able
to
financially.
Most people in America?
I don't think it's just a human thing to sort of want to be independent from your parents in that regard.
You would think so. There's certainly evidence for it in the animal kingdom, where mothers will abandon their kids at some point, or their children at some point. But
birds will just throw them out of the nest. Hope you fly.
The humans don't have that same factor. You know, there's a real socialization factor with humans where we like contact with others, and that's very important for us. So even though you might want to get away from your parents, you still want to probably be around people. You still want to probably have a support network of people that you can rely on to help in an instance.
Don't you think that moving out of your parents' house and finding independence in that way is an important part of your development?
Oh, I totally agree with that. But that's, part of what I understood growing up, and that's what I was taught. What if, you're raised in a culture where the family stays together for decades, and just like generation on generation, it's just a real family-oriented culture where that's just the way things are, or in a sort of a tribal culture where not only are you with a family for a long period of time, but you're also with the same tribe of people. And, you're discouraged from leaving that tribe because the tribe needs you. You've got a particular role, and you're very important to the functioning of that whole community. So I think it has more to do with the kind of the independently minded culture that we have here in the U.S. Whether that's a better culture or not is up for debate.
I would probably, if I was in one of those debates, I would say that it's a good thing that people in the United States at least used to be able to say, once I have the option, I'm going to leave home, and that option would be available because they could get a job and find rent that was cheap enough to sustain their lives like on their own. And I noticed, like, just personal anecdote, when I went back to my hometown not that long ago and like spent some time at the house that I grew up in.
I want to hear what you noticed in a moment. We're going to get to the rest of your story. I want to remind you, though, about freedomsphoenix.com. It's where you can uncover the secrets and expose the lies. They get you every day the real news that lies between the lines of propaganda and the relationship we have with coercive governments. Up-to-the-minute updates on the economy, technology, communications, and the rise of the police state. You can get it all at freedomsphoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com, and sign up for their free daily dispatch. There's more Free Talk Live coming up. We'll talk about Allie returning home to her hometown in Alabama, what she observed, and parents staying home with them. Is it okay? It's Free Talk Live.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Do you know what is the number one item to stockpile? Here's why I ask. We're in the middle of a global food crisis because of extreme drought, deadly disasters, and stupid decisions by those boneheads in the government. I found four warning signs that show that a major food crisis is on our doorstep, and we're just one more trigger away from a devastating disaster. And when that happens, or God forbid you have to deal with another natural disaster, do you really want to rely on FEMA to feed you and your family? That's why smart patriots have secured their own stockpile of survival food. Log on to stockpile1.com to see a little-known secret that instantly saves you and your family from natural disasters and the coming food crisis. Go watch my video at stockpile1.com. Again, that's stockpile1.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Toll free at 855-453. It's the SACL CAI toll free line, and you can join us online. Just go to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features we share with you there. Once again, freetalklive.com. We've got stuff on our site like the webcam. You can watch, you can listen, and you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners over at cam.freetalklive.com. Allie has been in the chat room tonight.
That's right.
And you can go and join her and the other chatters. Go to cam.freetalklive.com. Watch and chat all at once. And you can get your own website. We talked earlier tonight about Squarespace.com and covered how easy it is to use and how they're design-focused. They've got some amazing-looking designs that can help you with setting up a shop online, e-commerce, portfolio, blog site. All these things are just ready to roll. You can launch them by launching your free trial today using just your email address. And we mentioned the 24/7 support, but what about connectivity? Well, you can easily connect Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Google, and many more web and social services to the website that you design.
That's important.
With Squarespace.com. Yeah, these guys are up on the trends. They're following what's going on the web, and they want to make sure that you are able to plug it in to your site if that's something that you want to do. Now, of course, you did also mention the responsive design, Allie. These designs that they have not only look stellar on your laptop or your desktop computer, but will also be readable and usable on a small screen device like a smartphone or a tablet or something like that. They make it easy to do. Start your trial now with no credit card required at squarespace.com and use our discount code FTL7 when you're ready to sign up. You get started, you can jump right in and use almost all of their tools right out of the box with a free trial. So you can know if this is something that you can know with confidence that Squarespace is something that you want to pay for because you've gotten to try it for free. So go and see it for yourself and go to squarespace.com. Use code discount code FTL7, FTL the number 7, to get 10% off. Allie, you've been telling us about a story, the millennials as they are called.
My generation.
Your generation. Generation Y is another term for them. And I don't know, what's coming after the millennials? We still haven't figured that out. But the millennials generation is supposedly the most staying-at-home generation in the last 40 years.
Unfortunately, I think the next generation will be even more staying-at-home than this generation.
Well, it's interesting, too. They did qualify it by saying it was 40 years, right? So what does that mean, that the baby boomers would have been more staying-at-home than the millennials? What are they saying there?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe it's just they haven't been doing statistics on that since then.
Yeah, that's another good possibility. So we're talking about how, you know, is this a cultural aspect, that this idea that one has to break away from one's parents, and that it's a good thing. Like you said, that it's a good thing, you think, for a young person to leave the nest, so to speak. And I don't doubt that for you it was a good thing. For me, it was a good thing. I was very glad to get out from under my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I had more freedom. And, of course, as freedom-seeking individuals, as the two of us are, then it makes sense that we would value those things. But some people feel better about feeling secure and, you know, being in the nest, and that's the kind of life that they want for themselves. And for them, maybe it's a good thing for them to stay home.
Like, have you ever seen Arrested Development? Buster obviously feels more comfortable with his mom. It's just like, but he's also, he's kind of a mama's boy in that sense. So I think that that's going to influence you, and that, you know, your friends that end up moving out of their homes may be growing in ways in which you're missing out. Because I was going to a little story before the break about going home.
Oh, yeah, you went back to Alabama. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I went back, and it was just kind of, it was just weird to go and stay, like, sleep in my bed that I slept in high school.
Yeah, was your room, like, all the same?
Well, my room was a little different because it had had, like, you know, what my stepbrother had stayed in it. But it was painted the same color, the same bed. And
my parents totally repurposed my room. It's like a workshop now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, well, it was just, I felt like when I was staying there that it was almost like mentally I was reverting back into
your old habits,
my old ways. And just
because I see that.
I've grown so much since I moved out, and it's been like a huge learning experience, like anyone, I think, would have. Learning to take care of yourself and having a job and just being independent. And when I went home, it was really nice to be taken care of again, and it did make me feel good. And so, you know, it was comforting to know that, worst case scenario, if I had to, like, move back home, then I would be taken care of. But it's not desirable to me because
you lose independence.
I lose independence. And I also just, I don't like the way I used to be in high school, when I just sort of, it was like almost like an entitlement thing. Like, you know, I would, whereas like now, if I were over here, like, eating a meal and I was done, I would want to go and, like, clean my plate afterwards. When I'm at home, I just, you know, used to, like, well, Mom will get it, which is awful.
And did she get it when you were in?
Yes.
You were in? Yeah. So you didn't even offer to take care of her dishes?
Well, and then I felt bad because I was like, I'm my own person now. I can do my own dishes. But it was just, you know, it was
you
just
should have done all your mom's dishes because she made the dinner, right?
Yeah. I might have made some. I don't remember. Yeah, my mom. Oh, yeah, I remember. She made me, like, a tuna sandwich. It was good.
Okay.
Just like old times. But yeah, so I don't really want to go back to that. I appreciated that, and I needed that when I was a kid, but I don't need that now. And I think it's, like you've talked about, getting out of your comfort zone, Ian.
Yeah, sure.
And how that's an important thing
to
do.
It's a growing thing. It's something you have to do in order to grow. You have to step out of your comfort zone.
And what is a comfort zone but staying with your mom?
I think you make a persuasive point, Allie. I mean, I'm totally on your side on this. I'm just trying to come from the other perspective.
I would not blame someone who couldn't find a job. I have friends who stay.
So you would blame someone if they could find a job. If somebody is gainfully employed, they've got a career, and, you know, they've been at this job for a long time, and they see that they're going to continue at this, or, heck, they even own their own business or whatever. Let's say they're stable financially.
Well, there's some independence in that, sure.
There is. So would you blame that person for going and living at home with their parents?
I would wonder why they are so attached.
That's a good, I mean, it's a valid question, but maybe it's, maybe they were raised in one of those cultures where that's normal, and it's not a weird thing for them.
Yeah, I suppose.
Let me get to the question on Facebook, because I asked the question there, are you still living with your parents as an adult? Why? And is it really such a bad thing? And so, let's see. Valerie Pritchard says, no, if everyone can get along, I don't really think it's a bad thing. What's wrong with it? More people means more gets done, theoretically at least. Jackie Feast says, I'll admit I share an apartment with my mother. We split the bills 50-50.
That's different.
I only make about $21,000 a year, so sharing the bills with someone helps keep the standard of living up a bit. I could have gotten a roommate, but I've heard too many horror stories.
It's different in that you are still maintaining, like, you can maintain a professional relationship with your parents. You could, like, go into business with your parents or something like that. But the relationship's obviously changing from my parents take care of me to we're partners.
So you would have more respect for somebody if they were telling you, well, I'm in this even 50-50 with my mom. My mom's my roommate. She doesn't take care of me.
Yeah, that to me, that means the relationship's developed into something other than...
It's matured.
Yeah, it's not that they're still breastfeeding.
Freeman T. Fox says, by choice, yes. My mother's husband had gotten sick and passed away. I moved back to help her keep the bills paid.
That is a very caring thing to do.
Derek Travalgi says, yes, I'm still with patients. I think he means parents. It doesn't bother me. Probably a phone autocorrect. Let's see. Brianna St. Clair says, no, thank God.
And it obviously depends on your relationship to your parents.
Yeah.
So, like, if I had a friend and they were like, I'm moving back home on my own choice. I don't really have to. I just want to. I'd probably question if it's not. I would probably think, is this really about finances? Because it's okay if that's what it is. But it depends on your relationship to your parents, because if you have a really good relationship and you guys respect each other, then it's definitely not as bad as if your parents were very overbearing, want to control every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that can mess up people mentally. I think a lot of becoming an adult is being like looking with a critical eye at what your childhood actually consisted of. Your relationship to your parents, how they treated you, and that if you're going back to that, it almost like suggests like a giving up.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. 855-450-FREE. You can share your thoughts. In fact, Johnson had a topic last night that we didn't get to that might be relatable here or related, and that is that apparently yesterday was Child-Free Day. You know, they got Mother's Day and Father's Day and all that stuff.
I always wanted as a child, why is there no day for me? And they said, every day is Kids' Day.
Right, yeah. I remember being told that one, too. 855-450-FREE. You can take control. It's Free Talk Live.
I'm going to learn a new language someday.
I'm going to learn Spanish someday.
French someday.
Someday, I'm going to learn Chinese.
When it comes to learning a new language, what if you could turn someday into today? Because Rosetta Stone is now giving away a powerful free gift that lets you do just that. A free demo that lets you try the fastest way to learn a language. Today, we're giving away demos of our language immersion technology absolutely free. Call 1-800-924-6929. With the Rosetta Stone solution, nothing will stand in your way. No books, no rote memorization or translation, no boring drills. It's the breakthrough in language learning that over 20,000 schools, Fortune 500 companies, and U.S. diplomats rely on, because it's the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Claim your free gift from Rosetta Stone to turn someday into today. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-924-6929. That's 1-800-924-6929.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro Plant Powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with Micro Plant Powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
People are taking charge of their lives with healthier lifestyles. That's why you have to experience the Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event. One day only. Saturday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Durham Convention Center in Durham, North Carolina. Explore the Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, where learning is fun and delicious. Discover the world of gluten-free with free samples, cooking demonstrations, and lectures with well-known members of the gluten-free community. Enter the raffle, and you can win the grand prize of a catered Barbecue from Bonesuckin' Sauce, valued at $3,000. The Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, August 17th at the Durham Convention Center. For more, visit RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. Presented by Udy's Gluten Free, Glutino, Enjoy Life Foods, and Youngevity.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and we will be posting the story here about the millennials. And as Ali pointed out, according to CNBC and a Pew Research study poll survey says that 21.6 million millennials, those are defined as those living or those between 18 and 31 today, are living at home with their parents.
Another interesting thing that the article points out is that there is a difference in the genders. Men are more likely to hang at home than women, 40% to versus 32% of
women.
That's
statistically significant.
I agree.
Why do you think that is?
What do you attribute that to? I don't know. I really don't.
Are women by nature more independent? Is it a myth that it is the man who is more likely to be the go-getter, the independent person, and it's in point of fact actually women that are? That's interesting.
I'm just speculating, but I would think it seems from my experience that parents can sometimes be a little bit more protective, maybe overprotective of girls than boys.
So therefore they would want to be more free?
So the girls might feel more like, can I please get out of here?
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't overprotected, but I have girls friends who were, and I could see why they'd want to get out.
And that's what they did, right?
That's what they did.
Yeah.
But a lot of them still would require money from their parents, and so they still are under their parents to some degree, but I think living with them is a whole other thing. Having to answer annoying questions, having to introduce them to every guy that you're interested in, that kind of thing, would get old.
So apparently I was wrong, Allie. I said Child Free Day was yesterday, and I thought it was because Johnson had brought it in for show prep, but according to a Google search, okay, so August 14th, supposedly Child Free Day according to Facebook. However, Huffington Post, that is a story from yesterday. In the last decade, we've seen more out there than ever before about how parenthood is an option rather than a given in life. Parenthood optional advocates go back as far as the 70s with a nonprofit organization called the National Organization for Non-Parents, later called the National Alliance for Optional Parenthood. Its mission was to educate the public on non-parenthood as a valid lifestyle option, to support those who choose not to have children, and promote awareness of the overpopulation problem. Well, I don't agree that there's a problem with overpopulation.
If you want to have kids and you're like, but I don't want to overpopulate the earth, that's the worst reason. There's much better reasons not to have kids. Like, because, like, according to this, it costs a little less than $300,000 to raise a child to age 17, and then they won't even move out. You'll have them sticking around forever.
Yeah, that's a big reason right there for me to not have a kid. I don't have $300,000 to blow at this point in time. So back to the story here. This organization described itself in their own, or excuse me, in a different, I guess, excuse me, in a different functions, a different report from a different organization described it as a group that encourages young people to make thoughtful and responsible decisions about parenting by trying to reduce the impact of societal pressures that equate success or growing up with parenthood.
I think if you do let kids know from a young age that they might choose just not to have kids and that's okay, that they might be more careful. Because as a teen, I just remember thinking that, of course, I would have kids because that's what everyone does. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to have kids at some point. And that, you know, when they would talk about, well, in my school, sex ed was like, don't use condoms because they don't work anyway. But I remember thinking about how using condoms and trying to avoid getting pregnant, well, what's the point? If you have the kid, you're better off having it young, so it has less chance of having some kind of, like, health problem. You know, the older you get, the more likely, for a woman, I mean, the more likely it is that for your kid to have, like, some kind of health issue.
On the other hand, the younger you are at having a child, the less likely you are to be able to take care of it.
Exactly.
So NAOP, the organization, was known as the group that fought the must-have baby pressure. Before it closed its doors in 1982, it did some great work, including developing tools for school counselors and teachers that can still be found today, including their most widely distributed publication, Am I Parent Material? On August 1st, 1973, NAOP did a wonderful thing. It celebrated Non-Parents Day by awarding a male and female National Non-Parent of the Year. The winners were Stuart Maud, a 35-year-old philanthropist, and Ms. Anna Silverman, a 25-year-old teacher and co-author of The Case Against Having Children. Stuart and Anna rode down Fifth Avenue in New York in an open-top cap with laurel leaf crowns and were crowned non-parent king and queen near the Plaza Hotel. 40 years later, child-free writers and bloggers Maria Dritt Davis, Eric and Patricia Nafsker, and Amy and Lance Blackstone and I thought it was high time to resurrect this day and call it International Child-Free Day and bring back the Man and Woman of the Year Awards. And so they're doing that. They brought back the Child-Free Woman of the Year, Jennifer Thorpe Moskun. She lives in Brooklyn, New York, and as her nominator wrote, she embodies the best of the child-free. She's independent, passionate, loyal to her loved ones, and freedom-loving. She's used that freedom to do great things. Jennifer received her Ph.D. in social psychology, works as a research director at a profit or a nonprofit group that works to expand opportunities for women in business, and she wrote the book How Geek Girls Will Rule the World, which is designed to inspire women to not be held back by patriarchal notions of what women should do with their lives and instead follow their geeky dreams, whether it be computer programming or writing hard science fiction.
You go, girl.
Jen has done so much to further the cause of the child-free, both in her personal circles and far more broadly. She stood up for the child-free lifestyle in the face of disapproving family members. Of course, there's always that pressure, or frequently that pressure from parents or grandparents.
I think it's defensiveness. I think a lot of people, everyone who has kids, unless that is like your ultimate goal in life, are going to have to put something off that they might have wanted to do with their lives to have the kid. And it's about sacrifice for a lot of people. And I think that if when you're talking about not having kids and being proud to live a life without kids, parents are going to get defensive because I think a lot of them maybe even struggle a little bit. Like, was it worth it? I mean, everyone loves their kids.
Hang on. When you're saying someone's putting something off, aren't you, in essence, only addressing the parents who have not chosen to have children? I mean, because there are parents who choose children, like they to have kids. My parents did that with me. And then there are parents who, whoops, they're pregnant.
What do you think is more common, though?
Oops.
Yeah.
I think oops is more
common. So I shouldn't discount. Yeah, I mean, but people who plan, they fit into that whole, that is like one of their ultimate dreams. Because look at what kind of, look how expensive it is. You better want to have kids.
Yeah, so they didn't put anything off. That was their plan in that particular case. So let me go on here, though. She has, she's an active member of online child-free communities, and at work she has publicly advocated for workplace flex time to be available to the child-free in equal measure as parents. And that's an interesting point, right? Like, I don't agree that the government should be forcing any kind of rules on a business, but it is interesting that parents or pregnant women, for instance, get certain privileges at workplaces thanks to the government.
I feel like if I was, you know, say I had my tubes tied or whatever, then I feel like I should be able to advertise that as part of, you know, if you employ me, I'm never going to get pregnant and have to take time
more.
Off.
You can get paid more.
Yeah, I would be more valuable to an employer for that. And, yeah, I mean, part of, I think this is really annoying when women are like, I shouldn't be punished for wanting to have a kid. Well, that's what it's about. It's about the sacrifice. You shouldn't,
yeah, that's a good point.
If you shouldn't feel entitled to have a kid.
Take your lumps, lady.
What kind of parent are you going to be if you feel like that's your entitlement, that people should everyone should accommodate you so you can have a kid?
Theophile de Giraud is a writer from Belgium. This is the child-free man of the year, has no children by choice for personal, ecological, and philosophical reasons, and has done much to expose, educate, and contribute to the acceptance of the child-free choice. He has organized bold events to educate people on child-free, pro-natalist, and population-related issues. This is the one thing I have with these folks who are on this issue, is this population control thing. Like, hey, there's too many people in the world. Well, that's nonsense. There's plenty of room. If you look at America alone, the amount of open space is vast. It's something like 96% of America is not urbanized in any way, shape, or form.
Do you think they're just doing that to, like, sort of make their point a little bit more appealing to reach more people, maybe?
Maybe so. Maybe so. But it seems really fear-mongering. Yeah. Like, oh, God, we're going to have to, we have to stop having kids. I don't think that's true at all. I think that the marketplace will figure out ways to handle greater population, but also that over time, having children is not as valuable. We don't need as many kids today as a couple might need if they were, say, running a farm when kids were valuable.
Well, I wonder about that, like, you know, parents having kids because they want someone to take care of them when they get old.
There's that.
And I think that that is a bad reason to have kids.
It's a terrible reason.
Because what if you're, because then you're putting all this pressure on the kid, and if he wants to go and be an art major, then it's like, oh my God,
do
not do that.
What if the kid grows up to hate you? And that's something you can't control. You might be the best parent ever, but the kid may not like you.
I think if you're the best parent ever, you're probably not going to have a kid hate you.
Probably not. But you never know. Like, the kid could go off in a direction, I don't know, get addicted to drugs and all of a sudden start stealing from
you. Or you might not realize how bad of a parent you are until you're stuck in that situation.
Or what if the child dies before you do? I mean, that's something that's not supposed to happen.
What if you leave
it
in the car when you're at the grocery store and it dies of heat stroke?
So, you know, that's not a guarantee. But if you weren't to have the child and to save the $300,000, that could help take care of you in retirement, right?
There you go.
We'll see you tomorrow night online at freetalklive.com. Check out Allie at ALP Show on Facebook. See ya.
Quantum Vibe, it's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed. The brain implants an artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty.
I want to introduce you to a hero of mine. His name is Shahan Q. He sells little magnetic balls that you can use to make sculptures, shapes, or just fiddle with while you're on the phone. There used to be several companies that sold similar products. Now ZenMagnets.com stands nearly alone. The U.S. government has threatened and sued everyone else out of business because the feds think the magnets, which are less dangerous than balloons, are too dangerous. Support a hero and get a great product. Go to ZenMagnets.com. That's ZenMagnets.com.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Stanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.